The third wave, certainly in Gauteng, appears to be beginning to wane. And as more people get vaccinated, will we have more waves, though, coming up in the future? How much protection do the vaccines give us? And don't be fooled, the people who keep comparing this thing to the flu are wrong. South Africa is sitting at over 200,000 deaths. That's three times in excess of the official COVID tally. This thing is a killer. So we thought we'd bring somebody who knows all about it, vaccinologist based at Wits University, Professor Shabir Madi, somebody we've spoken to many times before. Prof, a very good morning to you. Thank you for your time. The good news is our rollout appears to be gaining some momentum.
Absolutely, Bongani. It's really refreshing to see us turn that corner. And the most important thing now is to keep this momentum going, at least through to the end of this year, and at least until we get all of the high-risk individuals, the adults particularly, vaccinated.
All right, so we're going to do a vaccination 101 this morning. My first question to you is, how soon does the vaccine kick in? And I want you to explain to me both the Pfizer and the Johnson & Johnson.
So for both of those vaccines, they usually start protecting at least against severe disease about 2 to 3 weeks after the first dose, including the Pfizer vaccine. When it comes to protecting against infection and milder forms of disease, the Pfizer vaccine probably works better than a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but that effect only starts after the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine, about 7 days after the second dose. But right now, the focus in South Africa is not about preventing infections, but rather about preventing severe disease and death. So both of the vaccines probably have effectiveness of at least 80% for the J&J vaccine, probably closer to 85%, and for the Pfizer vaccine, above 90%.
How much protection do I get, especially against the Delta variant of the virus?
So the numbers I'm citing is actually for the Delta variant. For the J&J vaccine, at least about 85% protection, and for the Pfizer vaccine, probably above 90% and close to 96% after the second dose.
So how concerned about future mutations should we be, even if we are vaccinated?
So further mutations of the virus is almost a given. It would be highly surprising if the virus doesn't continue mutating. And that type of mutations that take place might actually reduce the effectiveness of the vaccine against mild infection, but much less so in preventing severe disease. So what we've seen with all of the different variants that have evolved is that vaccines generally have maintained protection against severe disease, but they've been more variable in their effectiveness against milder forms of illness and infection.
So what happens if I get the jab and perhaps I've got COVID and perhaps I don't even know it? There's obviously a possibility one may contract the virus shortly after getting it. Who knows? You might even get it in that queue.
In fact, when you're vaccinating at the time of the peak of the outbreak, and this was the experience that we had in one of our vaccine trials, up to about 15% of all individuals that were completely asymptomatic were actually infected with the virus at the time when they were receiving the vaccine, and that was unknowingly. So what's happening in South Africa, especially in Gauteng, over the past few weeks is that many individuals that were being vaccinated were actually already infected with the virus without realizing it, and some of them went on to develop COVID a few days later. It was not because the vaccines caused the COVID, but rather because it was a natural progression of an infection that they were already harboring at the time when they presented for vaccination. The vaccination itself is not going to have too much of an impact on the actual course of infection in those that are already infected. It's not going to attenuate the illness, and neither is it going to cause the illness to become more severe.
So, I mean, because there's a lot of people making the connection with those who may fall ill or possibly even die, and they say, look, it was directly after they got the jab, so there's something to be concerned about. You're saying there can't be a causal link?
Absolutely not. And the majority of individuals, remember, the virus usually incubates for about 3 to 5 days before an individual becomes symptomatic. So all of those cases that are occurring in the first week or so after vaccination, those individuals were actually already infected with the virus at the time when they presented for vaccine. And that's just a natural progression of the clinical course of the infection in those individuals.
Why wait after the first jab for the Pfizer vaccine?
Sorry, Bongani, I missed that one.
I said, why wait to get the second shot after the first jab of the Pfizer vaccine?
So there are two reasons. The priority in South Africa is to ensure that we get as many people vaccinated with a single dose. And a single dose of the Pfizer vaccine provides more than 90% protection against severe disease. In addition to which, we need to space, if you space the vaccines apart, the longer you space it apart, up to about 8 to 12 weeks, the better the immune response. So if you give vaccines very close together, the second dose doesn't actually do much because the immune system hasn't really primed itself to respond to the second dose. And that's the reason we have at least a three-week interval. But the latest data indicates that, in fact, extending it to 8 weeks for a Pfizer vaccine probably is a sweet spot in that it induces a much more robust immune response than given at 3 weeks after the first dose.
Talk to me about the do's and don'ts directly after receiving the vaccine, for example, and you can add obviously to this list. Can I go to the gym? Can I have a drink on the day or the day after? How soon after can I do the normal things I would ordinarily do?
Short answer, you can do all of the above. There's absolutely no reason to restrict yourself with regard to any of your normal activities, unless you're feeling somewhat a bit down because of some of the side effects which happens with vaccines, including a mild fever, but all of the side effects are self-limiting. So if you're feeling healthy, absolutely no reason not to continue life as you would usually do.
Will this become an annual thing? Will we need booster shots every year?
So it depends. The short answer is, again, we don't know. But it's very likely that we will require booster doses. But it's unlikely and not pragmatic that we can continue vaccinating the entire population every 2 to 3 years. Indications are that against severe disease, the vaccine will probably confer protection for at least 2 to 3 years. For mild infection, it might be as little as a single year. So if our focus is on severe disease, and that is, I think, what we need to think about vaccines being all about right now, then we might want high-risk individuals to be topped up every 2 to 3 years. But it's not going to be pragmatic to vaccinate the entire adult population of South Africa on an annual basis.
Professor Madi, what do we do with anti-vaxxers, the people who absolutely just refuse to do this thing?
Sometimes there's not much we can do, but certainly I think the time has come for employers to start taking a stance because those that are not being vaccinated, they're not only putting themselves at risk of developing COVID, but they're putting other individuals in the workspace at risk of developing COVID. And specifically those individuals that do have underlying comorbidities that are vaccinated in whom the vaccines might not induce a good immune response. Those individuals need to be protected, and a way to protect them is to make sure as many people in any environment are vaccinated to minimize the chances to reduce the chances of the virus circulating and prevent those people from inadvertently being infected because of the selfishness on the part of those that don't want to be vaccinated for really no scientific reason.
People will cite experts who are well regarded in the field of medicines, sports science, whatever, and they'll say, well, hang on, if Dr. So-and-so, if Prof. So-and-so doesn't believe in this thing, why should I?
Well, Bongani, you'll never hear me comment on sports science for start of it, because that's not my expertise. So I think you need to take your cue from those that have expertise in a specific field. Being a doctor doesn't make you an expert in everything, and I think that's one of the lessons that we've learned with the COVID response in South Africa. People need to keep to their lanes, and basically the public need to be discriminant in terms of who they listen to for what advice with regard to which field of medicine.
One of the first phases we got to hear repeatedly was herd immunity. That seems to have dropped off in our language.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that it's dropped off the language, because if we continue the notion of herd immunity, the public is going to be very disappointed in a year from now when, after having been vaccinated and 40 million South Africans having been vaccinated, we still experience further outbreaks of COVID-19. Herd immunity is something that we thought could be achieved right at the start of the outbreak, but now with the virus continuing mutating and becoming relatively resistant to the vaccine being able to protect against infection, it's not a possibility anytime in the near future.
As many as possible. That's simply the message. Appreciate your time as always. Professor Shabir Madi, a vaccinologist based at Wits University.